Get the recording.
Oh. I think mine is on already.
Already been on. Is it a green light?
Yeah.
Okay, it is 6:02, Monday, May 18th. Call the meeting to order for the City of Othello Planning Commission. We'll start with roll call.
Ruth Sawyer here.
Rob Simmons here.
Jose Garza here.
Donald Burks here.
And we have three excused absences: Maria Martinez, Chad Robbins, and Daniela Voorhees. So we will move on to public input. Is there any? Not yet.
Do we have to put a motion for to excuse the absence?
Do we have to vote on it?
Okay,
we'll do that. So do I hear a motion to excuse the three absences?
I put a motion for...
I didn't give you a reason. Maybe you guys want to hear the reason before you approve the excuse?
There's a reason?
Well, I mean, how can you excuse something if it's a really bad reason?
Give me the reason. I would love to hear your...
Daniela is coaching T-ball. We'll be gone for the next 8 weeks.
Ooh.
I'm just kidding. She's coaching T-ball night. That's what I heard. Maria's out of town. And Chad, I did not hear. He didn't say.
He just said he wasn't going to make it.
Okay. That being said, I'll entertain a motion.
I put a motion to excuse all three of them.
I second it.
All right. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Public input, we've already decided there is none yet. And move on to the approval of the April 20, 2026 minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
I put a motion to approve the April's minutes.
Motion by Jose to approve. Second by Ruth. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Okay. So the first thing we want to talk about is the public engagement, the survey, right? Is that...
Well, the survey, so I provided the survey just kind of to see, you know, what results we got. We can talk about that or not. I more wanted to talk a little bit about the May 2nd event, which was, I felt, kind of mixed results. We got 37 surveys in paper back. I was there all day, and I don't feel like I can do that again. It was just... too much. I was setting up at 11 and I left at 7:45 and I was just like burned out. But I also worth it to try to do July 4th because I think it's going to be similarly hard to get other staff to help me that day for I don't know what kind of the return on the investment of doing another event would be, but I wanted to talk to you about how you felt. I mean, it is really important to get input. Something really great that's really engaging for people. I don't know. I'm kind of looking for some thoughts on.
Was it just a lack of engagement? People not stopping by your booth?
To some extent, and you know, the activity that we had set up for them wasn't great. You know, in retrospect, it was too complicated. But even the surveys. You know, some people did it, some people didn't. Kind of
quite a few people who've been longtime residents, if they've taken the survey and if they would, and they said, nope, not interested because they're not going to do what we want anyway.
Just because?
There's always that sentiment. No matter what, there's going to be that sentiment from some.
That's the thing. Regardless of what we do, there's not. It's hard to get community engagement. Because I mean, if we go to the parks, it doesn't work. We do the survey. You get an average 300 people apply for it out of the 9,000 that we have here. If we do a town hall, how many people are going to come?
I think the difficult thing is that there's not community engagement until there's something that someone doesn't like that's going to happen or already happened. That's just the reality of it. But I think it's an important process no matter what. If we don't do it, community engagement in general, I'm speaking not necessarily going to the park, then we'll hear about it.
So I was there for 4 hours.
Something like that.
Something like that. And I did the pool one for 4th of July last year. We had exponentially more people there for that. I agree that if we made it more of a, if you make it really, really simple to get responses, like, I think after seeing what I saw, we had a lot of people who just, you know, took too long. So if they came in and had a choice of one, two, or three, you know, keep things the way they are, make it grow, pull it back, that probably would have got a lot more.
But also the pool was a real hot issue where planning is so nebulous and hard to grasp what it means to you, you know, right now. Can you
agree with
the pool or not?
I agree, but I think if you made it, we also took input for the path, and we took a lot of input for that as well. I think it's just, it's a different event.
Yes.
That just gets, I don't want to say different people, but more. I mean, 4th of July gets a big, big, big turnout. So your potential for more input is significantly higher. I think the other thing is if we make things very simple so you can just give us one of three opinions, mm-hmm. I think you'll get probably more from that. I think you'll get more diversity in opinion as well. I mean, that's one of my problems with the survey is if you look at the breakdown of the survey demographics don't match Othello demographics. So, and if 37, I mean, it just, if you want more, that's probably what you got to do.
Well, I think the survey was pretty dead on as far for like the center of Othello. Like there's, even if you look at the demographics, there is a lot of high Hispanics. But more of them are in the outskirts than there are in the core of Othello, I believe. So I think the survey was great, but the amount of people that applied on the survey doesn't exceed the amount of people that have the population of Othello. So that's where it was like, man, like this is really like, really, like I look at this like voting polls, like this is pretty accurate because like in the voting polls is the same thing. There's low amount of response to people that actually vote compared to the population. So, but I think it was good indicator of what people wanted when it comes to like affordable housing and what they, yeah. I mean, there was great stuff there, but I think you're right. But I think if we do 4th of July, there's gonna be a lot more people there. I think we just gotta change the concept of instead of the penny thing, we just have to change it to something that's more efficient and easier mm-hmm. for the people because in 4th of July, there's going to be way more traffic. There's going to be way more people there. And so if there's a huge line just to get to that booth, people are going to go get food instead. So, but it's hard because it is different than the pool method. But if we can change the concept where it's easier for someone to just spend an average like 3 minutes in that booth before they get distracted on the food lines there, I think it would be way more efficient. But there's going to be a lot more people at the 4th of July. There's more families barbecuing, more people there hanging out. And so I stay still do 4th of July.
Okay.
It just changed the way of mm-hmm. of getting that information. That's me, though.
And we ran a survey that day mm-hmm. for our booth.
Oh, uh-huh.
Trying to figure out needs that we can bring to Othello, what people are looking for service-wise. Mm-hmm. And we did like a multiple choice. It was just a little small square paper. We only gave them two options for each question, just to make it simple. A couple of questions might have had three answers. I think we did a total of like eight questions, but I did notice a lot of people wouldn't stop unless we said, hey, would you like to fill out a survey? So it did take us kind of having to go out and get people to come fill those out. We even had some people walk around with the surveys and a pen, seeing if they could get people to just quickly fill it out. That made it a lot easier too. We probably ended up getting, like, I don't know what the total count is, but it was pretty close to like almost 100 surveys back at our booth. But we did send people out with the survey and a pen, just saying, hey, do you want to do a survey really quickly? And it was just a small little like quarter sheet of paper, simple, quick questions. And so we found more people were willing to engage if we were helping them fill out their survey, as much as them walking up to us and saying, hey, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a lot of people approach us, but we were able to approach a ton of people. So I don't know if that's any help, but.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth, what are your thoughts?
I already said my thoughts.
I didn't hear you say anything about 4th of July.
I don't know. If you're inclined to do it, then do it. But
I guess my question would be, do we want to get the top three or the top four that you did from here, and then just put that on the 4th of July and say, instead of having the five options, just say which one is the top priority out of the top three? Do we want to centralize it more?
Well, I think by July, we should be moving on toward some more topics, more like land, future land use and things.
Okay.
I mean, I think kind of the results of what we did get people to do is kind of middle, which I think you would expect.
So this would work for you as far for moving on and then having a set of different questions in July.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
There's only so much you can do, right? And you got to move on. You can't just keep trying to get a bigger sampling of the same stuff and hope for something different.
Yeah.
What do you think, Don? Any thoughts on it?
At least half the people on the 4th of July are not from Othello. And so you might skew your survey by people filling out surveys that don't live here.
The question would be asked, are you a resident? Yeah.
But a lot of people
good point, though.
Fireworks and don't live in town.
Yeah. Yes, Chris.
I think the key issue is if you all feel you want more input on the 4th of July, then you're the ones who are going to be manning the booth. I mean that. I'm sorry, but I mean, if you feel you need more data, then also understand you all are volunteering then to be in the booth, because Ann was there all day. And I was there for, like I said, half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a kind of commitment I think that you'll need. And if you think you have enough information to move forward, then let's just move forward.
Go with that. I think we have enough information. The results from the survey that you showed us were really clear cut about the three things that everybody was most interested in, things we already kind of knew. I know we got the most response and public visitations of the year that we gave away out free juice boxes. Mm-hmm. People would bring a kid and stop for that.
Mm-hmm. I was giving away backpacks, like little string bags, Othello string bags. So that worked to get some people to take the survey if they got a bag.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. It's not a exciting or sexy topic, right? So it's not people like, oh, we got to go to that booth. I don't know what more you learn from doing it in another event. I do feel like it's important that we try. We did. I think it's important that all these things, there's a lot of things still going to be going on that's going to be engaging the community going forward. And I think you just kind of have to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the sentiment might be, and I I understand where you come from, Jose. I think there's going to be a lot of people there, but Dom makes a really good point. There'll be a lot of people that aren't even a fellow residents. I tend to lean toward the, let's just not beat up some volunteers. And I won't be here for the 4th of July, so it'd be messed up for me to say, yeah, you guys need to do this. I can't help. Okay, is that the direction you're looking for? All right. So, Ann, what do you want to hear from the commission now? Do you want to talk about the survey results, or
do you want to talk about it?
Well, I think that we need to give everyone an opportunity if they want to, and I agree. It's good that we didn't have 15% for every single item, right? So we had some that were clear cut. What's important to people?
Mm-hmm.
The pool got a high percentage, so the fact that you had a big engagement for the pool, I mean, that makes sense because that is a hot topic for people.
The one topic
you just need to get 60% on the votes. That's all we need.
The one topic that stood out to me that I was surprised about was the number of people that rated senior housing as a concern.
Yes. I was. And I know that's something that Jose's been talking about. But I don't hear about that from people on a day-to-day basis, but there was a big percentage.
I wrote down a few things that jumped out at me from the survey. One of the areas that I find conflicting on the survey is a family-oriented small-town feel. Does that have the potential to conflict with affordable housing?
Yeah.
It does. So that one, I'm struggling with where that.
So you have to explain that to me.
Sure,
I don't understand
that's a great
the conflict.
Question. Yeah, I was thinking to myself, what is small town feel? What is that? You know, a lot of that's going to be safety. What things make you think that? Oh, we got the small town feel. So one of the things is safety, traffic, parking. You know, when there's a lot of cars all over the street, that's going to affect people's opinions on how the small town feel is. Now, how do you accomplish affordable housing? That was also kind of interesting when you go into types of housing, because it seems like single family dwellings are the idea to address this, but that's not really the case. I mean, there's a whole mosaic of type of housing you need to be adding to address that. Some of that means that there's going to be higher densities in some areas, and that's going to be in conflict with that small town feel. And how you age and how you go forward with that will impact that dramatically. So I found those two issues to be in conflict a little bit, you know. Which one of these, you know, for example, you make more rental properties available, you are going to make more housing available as well. You have more inexpensive rental available. If all that's addressed, you're going to have less houses that are going to be rented and hopefully more sold. What's going to be built? I mean, you're going to build to need. And if you want it to be affordable, you're not building $400,000 houses on the edge of town, you're building something quite different.
But these $400,000 houses on the edge of town give it a small town feel? I'm still not quite following.
Like I said, to what I say about small town feel, what are the things that make a small town feel?
I think that's
low density.
I think that's more person to person though, because your description is not my description of small town feel.
What items would you have as making small town feel like?
Small town for me is a lot of mom and pop shops, a lot of people walking around the town when I pull in. That's when I think small town, that's what I think. I don't necessarily even look at the housing.
Laid back atmosphere.
Yeah.
Well, there was a pool here, I'm trying to find it, where
I think of when I think of small town. So I think that small town feel is a little bit more interpreted person to person. But I don't necessarily put a correlation with affordable housing. Yeah. I don't.
I'm trying to find it, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I feel like you can achieve both, but mm-hmm. And I think it's very subjective what someone thinks a small town feel is. Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be different from one person to the next.
I think safety, traffic, and parking are probably your three biggest things, just based on experience.
Well, and what does someone consider a small town, right? Is it when someone says, I like the small town feel, are they saying, I don't want a fellow to grow, I want to stay this population forever? Not necessarily. You can grow and still make it feel like it's a smaller town.
And to me, that's the more interesting. I mean, I think that a lot of people would say, I'd like everything to stay, go back 20 years.
Some would, for sure.
Without a doubt. But to accomplish affordable housing, part of that is probably going to be a certain type of growth.
Yeah. Well, also, more restaurants and shopping is going to be
also, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Some of these things come in conflict with each other, and where you all are going to value what you value is, I think it has some pretty dramatic impacts. I think you can manage some of this by design. I think some of our designs and some of our plans as far as where we shunt traffic, you know, how we deal with on-street parking, which something we're going to be talking about again, where we're going to focus commercial development will impact Othello's growth. I mean, this all kind of fits into a big, you know, mosaic of things you're going to do. And small town feel might, as I said, if affordable housing is our biggest thing, I could tell you what I'd want to do for that. But small town feel, that one gets a little dicier. Just like you said, it's personal.
So I don't know how many of you have ever gone down to somewhere like Moab in Utah. Mm-hmm. My sister lives there. It is a small town. It is packed with tourists. It is packed with traffic. It is not terribly affordable to live there. But it still has a small town feel because the businesses are, I mean, there's a couple of chains that are there and there's a lot of hotels, but there's tons of independent shops there. There are people, they know their neighbors. There's people out walking. There's people that are out interacting with one another. There's lots of outside things to do for people to get together. Those things, to me, give you a small town feel. And what gives me a small town feel about Othello has nothing to do with the housing. And has, I mean, I like that there's not a lot of traffic, but that doesn't change that for me. What changes it for me is that I go into a business that I frequent a lot. They know my name. They ask me if I want what I usually order, if I'm gonna try something new off their special menu. Like, that is just getting to know your community and having that small town feel. And I don't know those people outside of those businesses, but you develop those relationships with those people. That is part, to me, of a small town feel. I don't know if anybody else spent all day Friday listening to the affordable housing webinar that Ann sent to us. But I did. And it was interesting, and a lot of it is acronyms and stuff that I don't know because I wasn't on the Planning Commission before, and this is not my wheelhouse. But much of what was talked about is off-site construction, which is modular homes then being brought in, and different pilot programs that I are doing to try and bring in. You can have townhouses and condos and that kind of thing that are, they don't look commercial. They don't look high density. Mm-hmm. And they're built off-site, so you have savings in construction and planning with that stuff. So I think there are ways that we're not doing yet that those things still could potentially be solutions. Whether we do it or not is a whole other thing. But I think that there are ways to bring in more affordable housing that don't take away from what makes it a small town feel.
I mean, my intake is just like I see where they're talking about affordable housing. I see how they want family order, like everything that you guys are saying. But I also see like the want more tourism. And we all know in order for us to have more tourism, we need to have more events. And in order for us to have more events, you know, we need to have certain things within our fire department, right? And so, like, we need to start there and get more hotels. They want to expand on shopping and restaurants. I mean, that got 66%, right? So, I mean, and this is just me thinking because I know certain things that maybe most people don't know, but, like, that Portland that's on, you know, 26 and Reynolds, you know, that once that, if that ever happens in that roundabout, that's going to bring more shopping, hopefully restaurants, maybe, I don't know, but it would bring more business, more opportunity. And if we can get some hotels, then we can get some more tourist funds and we can get more events to bring more people to come down like 4th of July. And that brings that small town vibe, right? You're supporting local businesses, you're getting tourists to come down, you see the Sand Crane Festival, that brings small town vibes, right? Is having those events at the park that you can take your kids to. And so I think we're on the right track of what we're wanting the community is asking for. It's just we just need to pull the trigger and figure out what are those things. The affordable housing is a huge thing, but also when they're worried about the infrastructure of the city and all that as well, that's a huge portion of it.
Yeah, I think the answers were smart because people thought about that. You know, they don't want to stress the infrastructures. They don't want to stress the water supply and all that.
So I had another question based on what I read. And again, I'm looking at this from a 10-year plan standpoint. How can we add things in planning for a 10-year plan to accomplish some of these goals? So that's why I wondered if, you know, affordable housing potentially makes a conflict. Another important one, and this is one you all have to think about quite a bit about. Commercial development, where do you want it to grow to have the most benefit for Othello's growth? Now, I'm going to point out Highway 26 looks like a great option, but understand this. If we do all that commercial on Highway 26, Othello's growth's going that way. And we just had a whole lot of meetings with a whole lot of angry people who don't want a whole lot of growth going that way. I'm just saying.
Were they mad about that or mad about it skipping and going past it?
They were, sure, but I'm going to tell you that will create that. So be a little bit deliberate on where you think you want growth to be, because where your commercial ends up is going to determine the growth of Othello. How do you want to create opportunities? How do you want to, and where? In which direction? And one of the great examples is Burger King versus McDonald's. Burger King's on the highway. Not many people go from in town. But McDonald's is packed and used all the time. Mm-hmm. And what develops around that? You know, that it's one of those things. Again, you know, planning, you can have planning be very random, or you can be a little deliberate in how you think about things. And you're right about a hotel motel. But one of the things that isn't understood about hotel motels is what makes a hotel motel work. There's two types of activities that are critical to hotel motels, and that is business travel and long-term stay. Those are the two things. Those are tourism is 8% of their business. That fills a little spots that business travel and long-term stay doesn't fill. So when you think about it that way, for where you want your hotels, motels, you probably want them closer to where the amenities are. You probably want that closer to where people are and where they can get access to things, as opposed to living on a highway. I know it seems kind of weird, but I know some rather engaged people who own hundreds of hotel motels. And that's the thing that they say over and over again. So think about that.
I'm thinking of Moses Lake. All the new hotels have gone up by the interstate there, not
where
in
else
town.
Can they go? That's another aspect. I mean, you guys
I'm
have
not
the
part
opportunity
of their planning.
Right now to deter and just again, I'm just suggesting be a little deliberate in how you think things should be and what happens with some of those decisions. You know, I think commercial development, both on the highway and still up Main Street, is pretty important. And I actually think Main Street is still probably a bigger thing for the next 10 years growth than the highway, just because of what I've seen for as growth goes that way. I mean, it's like, well, we can have it go that way, but let's not let it go too far that way.
Well, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but are we even there yet?
Well,
I feel like we're looking still a big
picture. Well, I think at the end of the day, we don't get, I mean, we get to say something, but like the developer is going to come in.
They decide it.
They decide where they're going to build. So yeah. The growth doesn't really come from us. The growth comes from the developer.
But
if you set it up so that you are encouraging.
Correct. I'm not, yes, I'm not.
That's what you guys
but if we can, that's what I'm saying. Like, what can we do now to make it where there's a hotel that's in front of Walmart? You know, there's so much we can only do to make it where a developer is going to say, well, right in front of Walmart is a great spot because it's in town, it's closer to the park compared to on the highway. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
that might actually be all you have to say to make one decision versus another.
Yeah.
I feel like right now we're just seeing like what people are prioritizing to know right. Then where our direction's going to go on recommendations we
so
make.
So, Rob,
right?
Why?
I feel like we're getting a little ahead.
Why I'm bringing these things up is it's really easy to just read some of this stuff and go, oh, okay, we need more affordable housing. We need more. Can you guys do things for deliberate growth? Is there stuff and where do you want that and what makes the most sense? You know, one of the other questions I have is does rental availability make housing more affordable? That's another question that I have popping around in my head as I read through this survey.
Yeah, to some extent.
But people who are answering this, affordable housing to some of them is their rent.
Yeah.
To some of them, it's a cost of their home they want to buy. And
exactly.
So,
and also subjective. Some of them might pay a really good price for rent compared to other places, but it's still, they consider it unaffordable.
So I really want to highlight something real quick. This is a great survey to follow up with the media income one that we did a couple months ago. Because if you look at that one, I mean, it shows really how much we make in Othello. When we did, what was the survey that, the research that we did, it was like 2 months ago, we were talking about, remember the sheriffs that work out of town and that they're, but they are from Adams and Othello and they had basically the income of how many people, the average medium income of Othello. I think it was like 50 something thousand or something. I remember, but I don't know the name of that survey.
From the housing study.
Well, I think maybe you're talking about, I can't think what it's called, but there was like a kind of like a demographic profile
right.
That was done for this.
What did because that's the thing.
Community
we have
profile.
If we use those two comparison, like the income of what we have here, because I still think the issue that we have in Othello is we don't have livable jobs. We don't have jobs that actually pay the rent. You know, if you are working and making $20 an hour, you are not going to be able to afford anything that is for sale in this town. And so, I mean, so to fix this issue, we need to provide livable wages. We need a hotel so we can have tourist funds, and we need to support our small businesses. And so those are like the biggest three that the community is asking. But we can't make house affordable. We have to make sure people are having affordable wages.
I think it's also driven, though, by the developer. If a developer keeps building 1,800 square foot houses and can't sell them because no one can afford them, they're going to start building 1,200 square foot houses, right? Because the cost of building isn't going to change. Materials are going to stay the same. The labor is going to stay the same. So
correct.
I think that is driven by what's selling. And I would say that if Angel wasn't able to sell some of his houses, he would change what he's building and try to make it more affordable. So that's driven by that as well.
But that's more affordable through the climate act to make sure that the efficiency of that house is used. So if you look at the AC that's being used in that is different compared to the newer houses. I mean, if you look at the first row of homes that he did right next to the Inspire, those homes were a lot more bigger. And then each of those homes that are going down that has been reduced on size to make it more affordable.
If that's true, then that's exactly what's happened. That's kind of proves my point.
No, I mean, I agree with
you. I think we do need it, and I think that I think those things happen naturally. It's driven by supply and demand. Everyone wants to be able to provide more jobs for that are better paying jobs, right? Any city would want that, but then all we can do is provide the ability for businesses to be able to come in who are willing to pay higher wages.
Yeah.
That's what we have
control over. Which will get the businesses in.
That's what we have control over. Another item that really jumped out at me was there is a giant void that needs to be filled in senior housing. And when it comes to promoting things that you could promote, where you could have types of building that you want to make some money on something, provide senior housing.
What does senior housing look like to us? I'd like to know that.
So
you know that.
All right. Tell me, Don.
Only because my grandmother ended up in one. That periodically the federal government has grant programs, financing programs for people specifically to build senior housing for elderly folks, and not necessarily disabled, but just elderly. And those I don't think those programs are constant, but they come and go. We should tell the city's the grant writer to investigate programs like that, because if they can arrange either grant money or some kind of federal loan money, that potentially can move along senior housing. People look at that as not terribly lucrative, but all those people have a steady income and they spend it in town. And I think that's possible. We could probably build 200 senior housing units, some of them quite small, some of them a little bigger, and that would add a lot. The problem is where to put it, because they don't generally drive. They need a way to, it's convenient to get to town, which brought up my next question. I need information from somebody that knows more than I do. If I understand it right, the highway department is never going to allow direct access onto Highway 26 that doesn't already exist. So does that discourage developers?
There's other things.
I don't know. It just seems clumsy to me.
That was a great question. The most encouraging thing that can happen for us in the current state of being would be, like you said, the roundabout at 2614 to encourage consideration for more type. And then why would that do that? Because it's going to slow people down. It's going to slow people down and give them two opportunities to spin around and come back. So the two roundabouts on Highway 26, number one, if anyone asks, it's going to increase safety massively, but it's also going to increase the opportunity for commercial growth around the highway. The thing we have to consider about that is when the timing of that happens, you know, are we okay with Othello going that way? And if not, we need to figure out ways to do that. Now, getting back to senior housing, what did I think senior housing was going to look like? I remember when Coventry was presented to us and how it was going to be, and it didn't end up that way. But I don't have an answer for you as to why that didn't end up that way, but that's what I was looking at. I think the situation that I think, all right, so we're looking at, again, big picture, 30,000 foot, small town field, and also affordable housing. And we want to have more opportunities for different types of business. What sort of things could we promote besides getting a big employer to come into town? Is this a good place to retire potentially? And what would make it a good place to retire? And that's where you would get that bump in your senior housing pretty significantly. What are we doing to promote that? What are we doing with people in all over the place to consider that circumstance, consider that situation? And should we be doing more? And if you had that,
I think you still maintain some of those things that you're looking for in your small town field, adding population so that you can have more services, but also work on some affordability that might come around that. And Ann, correct me if I'm wrong on that, I mean, on any of that stuff, but I just think we could do a lot better. And again, I'm looking for ways to help all the things we're trying to do.
The only thing that I can think of as an example is the whole development over there by Coventry. I remember that was supposed to be where you, later in age, you bought a house, and then you would sell your house and get one of the condos, and then you eventually might end up in one of the, in the assisted living. As far as I know, those houses were all bought by young people eventually, and the condos don't even have a lot of what I would call elderly people in them.
There's some of them that are elderly.
There's some.
Yeah, because I know.
It's not what the model was meant for originally. So if there's a need, was there just not a need then? Why wasn't that need filled? And why wasn't it?
I don't answer that one. And that's one of those I have a question about, too.
It could be the demographic, too. I mean, of Othello.
Yeah, good point.
The demographic, when we looked at it, it was like only 14% of our population was considered.
It was all young people, right?
Right.
Yeah, we have a very young population.
We had a very young population.
Why then is there a perception there's such a need for senior housing?
Well, because there is none.
Because there's none.
I know people who live there, and it took them a long time to get into one of the condos or the houses, apartments, because the hospitals and clinics were having their doctors. And so it was a little more money that they could get for those. And so these elderly people who were trying to get in are waiting and waiting and waiting to get in.
So how can you tell a property owner, landlord, now you have to rent to just elderly people and let them pay less?
And some of those in Coventry, you have to be like, you have to have like nothing in your like.
There are some programs that are associated with some of those.
Five and above.
Have nothing on your name and depending on your status.
There was a thing we talked about during housing where a portion of a development had to be affordable. That tax thing, right? Mm-hmm. Could that be something that could be used, affordable housing for seniors as well? Would that fall under that same, I mean, affordable housing, right?
So you can require that a percentage of a development be affordable to, you know, a certain level. You can't do it by age, but you could do it by income.
By income. So maybe that could be a good way to alleviate for seniors. It was just something we had done way back on the housing plan, was to do like a tax break for developers if they did so many units at a certain rate when they sold them.
And I know.
I can't wrap my head around it, so I'm just trying to get ideas on what that
is. I know for a fact when I talked to a developer that was going to build on the port's land, there was land that was designed dedicated for senior housing. It was housing that was not low-income housing, but it was designed for seniors that wanted to downsize can move in down there because they wanted able-bodied seniors that are just more here to retire to be able to have a place, but a downsized place. And so I do know that some of the housing in that development from the, if the developer's still there, has some of that.
So the hope would be as we provide what people think we need in this town, developers maybe will see that and say, oh, okay.
Yeah, and then also don't forget, and I'm just, because right now I'm really into this right now, but don't forget that with the ADUs, you can put your mother-in-law in those ADUs, or your in-laws, or there is ways for it.
Oh, it's no fun anymore.
Why do you speak directly to me on that? My mother-in-law is perfectly happy in her home right now.
You guys needed to make an ADU presentation to the last council, let me tell you. This one's probably a lot better to do it too. I think, we'll see, I guess.
There's two things that are linked to senior housing. If you don't have all three pieces, it doesn't work.
You could change it now.
You need to have a functional hospital with a resident medical staff that's part of the community. And you need to have the availability of nursing home beds. Both of those things are drivers. Part of our planning is what can we do to attract medical staff that will come here and live here, not be contract players from somewhere else. If you have that, then seniors are more attracted to live in that housing. If you just build senior housing and they have to go to the Tri-Cities for their medical care, they'll probably look for housing there too.
That's a big lift, trying to change that whole thought process to where people, I don't know what it'd take to, for people to say, oh no, I want to get my health care in Othello. And they're just sometimes a belief that absolutely drives people's decision to go.
The housing, hospital did a survey not a few months ago that found that more than half the people that live here get their medical care somewhere else. They don't do anything here in town. And almost all of those people said they would if there was medical care available. We have the hospital building, which is fine. We have the core of a nursing home, which is good. But it takes all three pieces to get seniors to come. We also have a good model. On the alley behind Main Street, there's a small row of duplexes where mostly seniors live. Those are really quite well done to support exactly what seniors need. There's no steps. It's easy to get in and out. They can walk around town. They're about 500 square feet, maybe 600 square feet. That kind of housing is what the single seniors need, and sometimes married seniors need. And that's affordable, because then you're talking about having to build multiple parking spaces. You know, you're able to build small duplex-like units that just need a place to go. If we, like you said, if we allow or encourage development along Highway 26, that's going to push everything that way. If we want, even if you had stores along there, they would not be walkable. Nobody could walk to those places. If we want the commercial development along Main Street from Broadway all the way to 17, that helps. Or on Main Street and down First Avenue. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of property on First Avenue that's developable for commercial property. Mm-hmm. I don't know which is best. I know what the senior housing needs, and there'll be plenty of people that will actually come to Othello if they have those other two pieces in place.
Well, we have the Hattons, right? Am I saying it right? I mean, depending on what they build down there next to the clinic, I mean, we can encourage them to build some housing right next to the clinic.
They're going to build what they believe is going to sell.
That's yeah. But I think overall, I think we kind of beat this to the horse.
Yeah, I mean, these are good discussions, but I don't know if they're discussions for today or future, Ann, so give me some direction there.
It's more just get it on your radar for when we get to these points. You know, there's some stuff that's in that survey. Look at that survey, very object. Like, what is that thing telling you? You know, one of the things it told me too, riding a bicycle in Othello isn't very safe and it's not very likely to be engaged in. You know, if you're going to add people and you're going to give a small town feel, maybe how we get around this town needs to be part of that equation.
I mean, I think this survey is great. I just wish that it wasn't just 282 people that just did it.
I got my issues with the demographics.
That number's
sure.
Pretty standard for when the city does surveys, though.
Yeah.
250 to 300 is typically what we get back when we do any survey.
Seems like it.
Mm-hmm. Because even when we did those Mellon ones, mm-hmm.
we used
did we
to
do them
try to figure it out when I was on the school board too. How do you get more participation?
Ago?
It's just hard.
Participation plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what was.
Almost
something like that. We did the same thing, so we mailed them out with the utility bills the same this time.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's kind of, yeah. No, that's what I was saying. It's kind of like, for me, it was because when you look at the water pools, it's like only 1,000 people vote compared to like the 9,000. So it's like.
I guess what I was trying to say in all this is July 4th is coming up quicker than you think. And if you think you need more answers to some of these questions that we just discussed, then there's probably a good reason to be out there for you. If you don't think you need a whole lot more, kind of got to dial in, and you can represent what you think is the majority of the people, go forward. And I don't have, any feeling either way on that, personally. I think you could go either way, be totally fine. But if you think you need more fleshing out of particular things, I think Fourth of July is a great place to do it.
Well, I think we did that, we gave that direction already, so I think
we're good.
Okay. Are we ready to move on to the new code recommendation? Okay.
I have one more question, though.
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
Eventually, maybe a long time eventually, the school will need to be engaged in building new school buildings. Where should we encourage them to do that? That will draw huge amounts of vehicle traffic and foot traffic.
Well, they've got lands.
Do we have any idea where to put them?
They've got lands, over on the, across from Walmart.
Yeah.
Have land, but they have no money. And, and
take a bond.
Is the land that they presently own a desirable place from the city's point of view?
Oh, yeah. It's that perfect.
I think there was a lot of discussion before that all happened, yeah.
Well, if they do
kind
that.
Kind of a package deal happened there.
Oh, and
they learned from their mistakes.
No, they got the land, but that will turn 14th Avenue into a speedway with all the traffic from the northern part of town coming out of the school.
Well, that's the same with the Hamptons. If the Hamptons get built completely, that's gonna, you have the school, you have CBHA, you got all the housing that's back there. I mean, eventually the roundabout in 26 is going to happen because traffic is ridiculous down there right now. And if once they are fully built and going on, something's gonna give. It's the same difference with what's gonna happen here on Main Street. We have to figure out how to control that traffic because,
yeah,
you know, that's a lot of traffic coming in.
What kind of guidance does the city council want from the planning commission? Maybe I should say suggestions, not guidance.
Well, I think when that time comes, they'll kick it to us. Right now, we're just kind of focusing on the conservation plan. But
I'm trying to like honor the schedule that Anna gave us. The first part, do this step by step as we're working through this year of this planning. So, like I said, these are good discussions. Maybe just things for us to ponder and bring up as we go along. Good points.
Yep.
Okay.
And so we're planning to talk about land use at the July meeting, and potentially having an open house beforehand if we want to open it up a little bit more to the public.
Yeah.
Or just maybe just at your meeting. Kind of depends on how things work, but we're kind of what our next target for a topic is.
Okay.
Land use map. Okay, should we move on to zoning? Take care of some zoning issues the state's making us deal with.
Yeah. So, Anne, based on our input, has made some changes. They're in red. What do you want to start with? The three, I think we should start with the three things that came through legislature.
Okay.
Which would be the daycare, the residential in any zone or any current building, sorry.
Yep.
And now added in the family burial grounds. Let's talk about those first. And then we'll get on to the garages.
Yes, I agree.
Look forward to hearing the discussion on that. So has the commission had a chance to look at the proposed changes that Ann had in the code for those items, those three items? And do you have any comments or questions?
Well, they seem okay to me. I'm glad that we turned down the family burial ground.
Well, I mean, I think we dealt with what we had to and kept it pretty succinct on what we have to do. And
what the impression I got from you when we talked about it at that time was that we weren't interested in that. And so we just need to make it really clear in our code it's not allowed.
Yep. And I feel like it was clear. It was in a few different places.
Yeah, I don't know if it needs to be in all those places. You know, theoretically, we could just put it in the general provisions, but I don't know. I feel like that chapter can get easily overlooked. And so that's why I put it in each zone, because then it's right up, right there, it's clear.
Does someone have, okay. If it was allowed, would someone have to come to the city and say, I want to bury my grandma in our backyard, I need a permit? Is that how it would work?
I don't think there would be a permit required.
So I'm thinking that if someone's going to bury someone in their backyard, they're going to bury them in their backyard. regardless. So no matter what, if it's somewhere in the code, we're going to just be able to say, you can't, you were supposed to do that, but how do we stop it?
But if they did it and it's not allowed, right?
Yeah.
They won't
exhume.
They
move.
Won't get the benefit of, and this is just from what I was told. I mean, it might be wrong, but the benefit of burying someone in your family or in your home is for tax purposes. Is considered a barrier.
I would be astonished if that's not already a crime under state law to just bury somebody without an official.
So the question is, how many times does it need to be in our code? I think that's what Ann's asking. Just once or in every different zone?
Just once for the whole city with a big no.
So just put it
in the general provisions, and that's good enough? That would be page... 32 of the packet.
Well, you would know better where to put it than I would. But
I feel like that if someone wants to do it, it's, I don't know that having it four times or five times is going to make it stop it compared to one time.
Yes, I agree with that. But if they're relying on the Washington code that says you can do it, obviously, I wasn't.
I don't think it hurts anything either way. And maybe the council will see it and go, this doesn't need to be in every spot, and they'll overrule it. So I don't have a strong opinion on either way.
Okay.
I'm just curious if they start construction and they pick up a skeleton.
Then you call the police and the coroner when you find a skeleton. That's the process.
That's not what I did, but is that what I was supposed to do?
You should have asked me.
Just moved it over a little bit. Sidewalk's going there, right?
I haven't done that twice. When the law enforcement comes out to confirm the body's dead, they will ask you where are they going to be taken care of, which funeral home is to take care of. Okay.
So what do we want to tell Ann? Keep it in several places. Let the council decide if they want to change
that. Yeah, put in a big red no everywhere you want.
I'm fine with it the way you've got it now.
Okay.
I'm good.
I don't know if it's needed or not, but I guess more is better for something like that.
So just out of curiosity, is that for only an intact body, or does that mean ashes in addition?
Burial.
You can bury
ashes.
Bury ashes? They can bury ashes.
I mean, that's a good question, I guess. I don't know.
There's no way to know.
If the urn, if it's in the urn.
It's, whoa.
Buried in the urn.
Someone might think it's a time capsule.
Good luck when you open it. Is that an important question we need to make a distinction on that Ruth brought up? Ruth, you always come up with a surprise.
As it relates to this law, and can we put requirements on? I mean, I would think that if we're gonna allow people to get buried on their property, no, we're not allowing.
We're not.
Okay,
we're not.
Making sure. I'm like going.
Oh, we're not.
No, I wasn't listening. I was.
So the state has passed a law saying you can do it unless the city has passed a law saying you can't. So we are proposing to say that you can't do it.
So in the RCW, how is it worded? Does it just say human remains? Because that ashes would be human remains.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not presently against the law to keep urns and ashes in your home.
We're just talking city limits here, so.
Yeah. I honestly think we're just talking property out in the county.
City limits here, you know.
You got different. All the Duttons are all lined up. I think you should be able to.
Elvis is buried at Graceland. Just saying. It's Tennessee.
Here's the new definition.
That's a different
family
world.
Burial grounds means an area of privately owned land that is designated pursuant to Chapter 68 RCW, not yet set, for the interment of human remains, and in which interments may be but are not required to be restricted to a group of persons who are related to each other, blah, blah, blah. It includes any mausoleums or columbaria constructed on a family burial ground. It does define, I mean, seems to be that mausoleum is human remains in crypts, and columbarium is a structure containing niches for permanent placement of human remains.
That's probably for ashes.
Yeah, that's ashes part, but.
There you go, Ruth. Does that answer your question?
All right. It does count. We were talking about the city limits. I mean, if this was county, I probably would have not let that allow because, you know, just farmers, generation farmers.
I'm with you. I have a different feeling on
that. But I think with the city, I think nobody's going to put anybody in a house in town.
Well, be careful.
We know how you feel with your in-laws.
Okay, so I think, feel like that was the easy one.
I love my mother-in-law. Don't start rumors. Is it any way I buried my mother-in-law in my backyard?
No.
Okay, so we're clear on that one.
Yep.
Does the commission have any thoughts on the childcare and then the residential units in existing buildings? I feel like we just did what we had to do and didn't then add some on that.
Is that a big issue about people creating new residential space in a building?
Well, it's just that the state has said you have to allow it now so that because there's a need for housing. So now any existing building can be converted to residential no matter what the zone is if it's an existing building. No matter what the zone.
For child care.
No matter the zone.
All zones.
For child care.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. In a zone that allows multifamily housing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, let me.
No, that was part of it.
This was stuff I had prepared in March and we never got to, so I just kind of added the family burial grounds and threw it back in. So in commercial, mixed use, and residential zones, we have to allow new housing in existing buildings.
It just makes it much easier for someone to buy an existing building, convert it to housing, and not have to do a lot of energy or code updates to it.
When I read that, I wondered, does that just sort of run around the accessory dwelling unit procedures we did last year? If you suddenly say you can put new housing in an existing building?
Empty say. You can convert into housing.
No, because, I mean, if you're converting your garage, then yes. If you're building a new building, you would have to meet all of the current standards.
I understood that from the accessory dwelling unit thing. They had specific things to do.
Current envelope, yep.
But the new language that the state put in gives them an awful lot of leeway about what codes mean.
Because we need so much housing that the state is reacting to that and making it easier and easier to build housing, hoping to fix the problem.
So that's going to be...
And also with the daycare, that's the idea too, is that there's so much need for daycare that they're allowing that to be...
Nobody pretends that all the daycares in the city are licensed.
Basically, our future map is going to be basically all residential because even if you say this is commercial, they can basically make it into residential.
Build residential in it, yeah.
But only where there's mixed zones, you said?
Commercial, mixed use, and residential zones. So we don't have any really mixed use zones. We have commercial and residential.
But just to be clear, the building that they're purchasing that's commercial, you can't do an addition. So they have to, within that
existing building,
existing building.
Yep.
But even if that existing building needs to be updated wires and updated sheetrock, they still have to build it within code of...
Yes, it has to meet life safety standards.
Yeah, but if it's currently got a 2x4 wall, they're not going to make you knock it down and put a 2x6 wall, though. There's certain things you can get around.
Yeah.
And does this change the code where we said you could have commercial on the front edge and residential on the back edge or on the next story up? Does that change all of that?
It's got to be to the current standards.
It does.
But if you leave the plumbing like it was, you can leave it.
Well, that's if the building... That's if the building... So the building has to be pre-built, so you can't build a house on top of the commercial because then you're adding to it.
But what I'm saying is we already have an ordinance that says if you're in a certain commercial, the front of your business can be commercial, but the back half or the top could be residential. Does that get rid of the code because now it's allowed in any building?
Well,
every commercial zone.
No, but that zone, that land.
If this new state law is going to change the ordinance.
Currently, if you have a commercial building in a commercial zone, or with this new law, that entire building could become all residential.
Right, so that's what I was asking. Is it going to get rid of our requirement where it had to be partially commercial still? So yes, it would get rid of that.
So, question for Ann, but it sounds like it.
So I'll give you two examples. I'll give you two examples. So the land that's right in front of Walmart or the food bank, Mario Garcia's land, that's commercial, but it's vacant, right? He cannot build a business. Well, technically he could, because with that zoning, he can build a business in the front and then housing in the back.
Right, we already have that as an ordinance. Yeah. I'm asking if that one is going to change.
But if you look at the, right next to like the, right next to the labor, what is it? Marjan. Right next to Marjan, there's like a business that's in the bottom, but then they have a rental or they have a house on top.
Right, and so we
that business can turn into a home.
That's what I'm asking. Do we need to change that ordinance with this?
So Alma, on page 26, I tried to address that. Okay. So new construction would still have to meet that. You can't build residential within 140 feet of Main Street or Highway 26.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. What the footnote 7 is. But that next line that I added there, saying multifamily residential within an existing building.
Correct.
So then we can keep that code as is yes. For now.
Well, yes. With the changes that I
applies added, to new.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was
asking. I made those changes to address that issue because
okay.
After
you're
3 years,
can't.
They can
years
come back.
Changes.
You can do what you want.
Yeah.
But we can leave that. It's not going to mess with that ordinance as of now.
Yeah, they would have to build.
Or you would have to change it to say new build.
Yeah, so that's what I did.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so they can build it to a business up front and then housing in the back, wait 3 years, and then convert it to housing.
Exactly.
They could.
Good.
But then there is like some buildings that are on Broadway that have a business on the bottom and they have a living on top. They can make that business into a house because it's already
living area.
It's a pre-built structure.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a 2,500 square foot and 50% rules in there. So there's some.
That's about energy code. Yeah.
As far as what they'll have to do. But I just feel like you captured everything that was required by the law.
That's what I was trying to
and
do.
And nothing more. That's what
that
I think that's what
intent.
We
yeah.
That's what we're up into.
Don't shoot me, Ann. What do we do? What do we that's fine, I want to shoot you.
nothing changes. I said, what did you find?
I think it's the C2 zone that we have that extends basically that empty area between Mi Carnesia out to Bethel. We open that opportunity up for apartments as well.
So it's C2, you're saying?
Is it C2? I thought we did it just there, though. It was like, it's C2. It was just that it made sense. Huh? Because it wasn't being used at all.
So in C2, you could do new construction, multifamily residential, not in conjunction with a commercial structure.
As long as it's not on Main Street. And that would be the only place that would work.
Yeah, so on Main Street or on Highway 26, we said new construction had to
be. Could do it on Highway 26.
Couldn't
now.
Be residential.
Okay, so that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about right now.
What? It kind of is.
But I addressed it.
Okay.
I think the problem
that's
is.
That's what we're asking about.
The problem is there's all these empty commercial lots that are for rent that nobody's using, and they can just basically, well, the
commercial
one,
buildings.
Where CLA used to be at? CLA?
Clifton Larson Allen, old accounting.
So for example, that can, if they don't get no one that is gonna rent that facility, they can convert it into a housing and just put rentals. Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, we can't do that on Main Street.
By state law, we can't restrict the conversion.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. We have a lot of commercial, we have a commercial lots that are vacant that if the owners decide.
Buildings.
Buildings.
Same. You have to allow it. You have to allow it. Based on the law.
It would be up to the property owner, right? The guy who's leasing all of the little.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the person that would do that.
I mean, in reality, the commercial, you get more out of the residential, but it's, you wouldn't want to, business-wise, you probably don't want to do that. But if.
So sure about that?
Well, I mean, commercial, you're renting it out for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 if it's on Main Street, right? If you do residential, you can only rent, and you're trying to do affordability, maybe 1,800, 20, you know, 2,000.
Wait, not if you have 6 units you just put in it.
Just saying.
Yeah, so it's just, but I'm just saying that's concerning for me because you're trying to preserve Main Street and all those.
State doesn't care.
We haven't got there yet.
No, you can't. It's in the law that you can't require more parking.
You can't.
No.
Yep.
I mean, I hate the idea of more parking, but it's just to, you know, deter it from being.
It's not.
No parking.
It's not great at all, but it's definitely something that I don't feel like we have.
Anything you can do.
No.
So for the Main Street thing, we can. For a major pedestrian corridor, as defined by the city, you can restrict the residential, version to residential there. So we would have to.
Oh, I did not read that.
We would have to label it as a major pedestrian corridor. A major pedestrian.
I think that's easy.
I did not catch that.
Yeah, it's Main Street. It's gonna, it's always a major.
But that needs to be put in.
Is there a certain definition it has to meet, or is it by our city?
This is what I'm saying.
As defined by each city.
I did not catch that part. I'm glad it was brought up.
Yeah, because I was, I'm like, how, that's my concern was that.
I'd say pretty, with a lot of confidence that the planning commission would do that, the city council would support that.
I would.
I know I would.
So that seems very subjective, major pedestrian corridor.
So do we?
You could kind of say, you could probably say First Avenue for that as well. I don't know about Broadway.
So we don't.
I mean, you could. It sounds like you could, but.
We don't currently have that restriction that you can't build multifamily on ground floor on Broadway or First Avenue.
I'm talking about building, though.
What's that?
We're talking about converting a commercial
and
building.
I'm saying, right now, in a C2 zone, on Broadway or First Avenue, you could build just residential and not commercial by our existing code.
In an existing building, you can convert it.
New construction.
C2. Okay. So it's. There's not an issue there. So but we're still talking about if there's an existing commercial building, can it be converted to all residential right now under our code on Broadway and First?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you could build a brand new one under our code because we only restricted it on Main Street and Highway 26.
Yep. Well, but
we're talking about
this building envelope idea. You're talking about multifamily.
And new construction.
Under this new one, the state's requirement, you could build one home in an existing commercial building, not multifamily.
Yes.
So there is a distinction there.
Yeah.
Main Street is totally a pedestrian corridor.
We just got to preserve, I just want to preserve Main Street. Main Street and, I mean, in First and Broadway, but.
Yeah, First for a while.
But I understand, like, on First, you have those two big lots that were.
Who will designate the pedestrian corridor? Is that the commission to make that recommendation? Mm-hmm. So we need to talk about what we think about on First, then. We know Main. We've been clear about Main Street, but how far up First?
That would be making changes to the existing.
code says to make it more restrictive than it is now. So is that what you want to do? Just
right now, but right now, from what you've told me, and I'm not going to say I know all the code, you're saying multifamily.
Well, yeah. She was saying, so on First Street, right, you can build new construction multifamily.
But Rob is saying not multifamily, he's saying just like one unit.
Well, in a certain
but if,
well,
but that's with our current, that's with our current code that we have, we can do that. Because we have those two big lots that you can build those multifamily. But with the current state law that came in, it's that stating that within that street, if there's a commercial building that wants to be converted into a housing unit, it is allowed. So what we want to restrict is saying whatever prior building that is considered that is built right now, it is a pedestrian corridor, and we want to preserve those from not being into housing. Correct.
We have to determine.
Correct.
As
well,
a commission, what we think that is. I would be more. The multifamily is already set. It's in code. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is, if someone was to find something on First Avenue and say, I'm just going to make this my home, single family home, are we okay with that? Or do we want to put that in the code?
But the only way they would be single family home is if they had a commercial building that, a pre-existing building.
Yeah.
That's why she said new construction is allowed. But what is a give me an example on First that there's a house that, or a commercial that can turn into a house.
Well, there's probably like six of them I can think of right now.
Barbershop.
And then there's another barbershop.
Well, yeah, but you were saying multifamily.
I was saying that currently the code allows for multifamily to be built in the commercial, right?
Yes.
I'm asking, do we want to limit just Main Street as a corridor, or do we want to come down First? I think the concern was, Ann said, if we did that pedestrian corridor, it might affect the current code that allows for multifamily. I'm strictly just trying to, Chris, I see your hands, man. You're distracting me. I'm saying that do we want to have, even if it's just three blocks of First past Main, mm-hmm. do we want to preserve that as a pedestrian corridor too? That's all. I'm asking what the commission thinks on that. Anne's afraid if we went too far down First, we'd affect the current code in the multifamily. But we could say, what, four blocks right now that there, I don't think, are empty lots on First, that we could treat the same as we're saying we should treat Main as a pedestrian corridor. That's what I'm just asking that of the commission. Go ahead, Chris.
Something that's very important to know about First Avenue, and it could also answer this whole situation, and I'd highly recommend doing it this way, is you have to remember that First Avenue has three different commercial zones on it. One of those is commercial zone one, and I think you should make all commercial zone one automatically pedestrian corridors, because that's how commercial one is set up anyway. And you do not want a house in the middle of that. So, yep. And that extends all the way to up First Street to Juniper.
Mm-hmm. Which was essentially...
You probably don't want those. Commercial zone three, you could probably also designate. So if you use your current commercial zones as where this could happen, you would still have the same rules in essence that you already have in place.
So that's my question for the commissioners. I think everyone's saying
just
Main Street.
Little window of unused. Yeah.
Like four blocks of First.
Yeah.
Do we want to include that with Main Street when we talk about this pedestrian corridor?
Well, I think we might have to come back on this one and look at the what we currently.
We're not going to be able to make a decision today on this, but Ann needs to draft it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with how you're indicating it, but I want more.
I would be in favor of making First Avenue from Main Street all the way down to 26 a pedestrian corridor. If somebody wants to build another commercial building, they can easily ask the building department or the council for a variance. And but that would define it for a long time about where city building is going to happen.
The pedestrian corridor designation would only affect this RCW anyways, right? Not necessarily new construction.
As defined by the city, so we can define it however we want, whatever it does.
Yeah, we can define it. I say we define it.
Well, the reason I said
I'm okay with going to Juniper right now, but if you guys feel like we need to go past it, then I'm...
The reason I said that is that in the survey, it's not a big deal, but quite a few people said, I want a walkable city. And we should, if we want to guide development into a walkable type of plan, then we should probably tell them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm confused here. I don't think we're trying to designate pedestrian corridor so that we as a city then start making code changes for that. I'm just saying we're just trying to get...
No, I would do what he said.
...out of having to force...
Yeah.
The state forced us to allow some things we maybe don't want to allow right now.
The last thing we want is that storage unit to become single family homes.
Hey.
What an idea.
It's out there.
Stop the recording. Now.
Or a homeless shelter. It works. I'm just saying. Throwing it out in the universe. But
okay,
yes.
So what's the guidance we want to give Ann for this pedestrian corridor?
I would do what he said.
Main Street.
All C1 should be considered a pedestrian corridor. All of Main Street should be a pedestrian corridor.
All right, so Ann, I'll let you craft that and then bring it to us next time, I guess.
So is that Main Street all the way to Howard 70?
Yep.
Yeah.
Chris says yes, so.
Right?
No, I say. I say we'll just start there, and then if we want to contract, we'll contract. But I still think we need to do that with Broadway.
We can do this and see what it reads next time.
Yeah. And I think we should do Broadway too, because Broadway is there's a lot of traffic in that area, and I just don't see a family house being there somewhere.
I don't see it as a pedestrian corridor either, though. So many trucks go through there. But and do you have enough guidance to be able to reword that for?
Well, technically, it could be because you have those trailer parks that are like right in the center. So,
what about
on their own first?
Their grandfather.
No, but I'm saying like it can, you know, people walk. It's a potential corridor. It's.
They can go to first.
One other area that you might want to think about, I'm not sure what you do with this, is 7th. Because that is mixed residential commercial. You have all your schools up and down 7th, and you also have most of your parks connected to 7th. I'm just pointing it out there for consideration.
But it's residential right now.
Huh?
It's residential, so you're going to say you can't build residential.
Well, it's mixed residential commercial.
But it's zoned residential.
Yeah. So someone can already do something there and make a... So I don't think the state law will negatively impact that. So the next item then is the childcare. Is everyone clear on what that's basically saying? From what I understand, childcare can be put anywhere essentially. There might be some restrictions, and you can't require additional parking in, or is there a requirement for parking for drop-off and?
You can require a drop-off.
And for how many employees are in there? Is that?
Cities may impose reasonable restrictions on the permit for the child care center, including pickup and drop off periods.
Did you put that in?
I don't think I did.
And by definition, do pickup and drop off zones have to be off of the roadway?
Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
I believe you are correct.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, H2As are still.
Or not allowable. Back
for daycares. The alley is a pickup drop off. You have H2A housing in
town?
But
it's still a drop off.
Come on.
People use
for junior high. But so it's not. Walmart houses are H2As.
Well, I'm just asking if there is a clarification.
The Walmart.
What Walmart houses?
Where A1 is at? And you go all the way through there? All those housing right there is all H2As.
Not H2A.
Yes, it is.
For field workers?
Or not H2As. So
what's like, what are you talking about?
Housing, what do you call that?
It is in there. Okay. Yeah. Has the commission read these changes enough to feel comfortable giving Ann the go ahead to move this on to the council?
Well, we have to hold a public hearing, but
after the public hearing?
If you're feeling comfortable enough with it, I can bring it back. We can schedule it for public hearing next time, make the changes that we've talked about. Are there any other changes you want to see?
Would you rather, if we're good with the cemetery or burial sites and the childcare, are you good with us getting that off the table and then just coming back with the...
I'd rather do it in one.
Oh, okay. So
it's all in the same.
So just bring it all back then once you make those changes for the
residential and existing. There's not a lot of changes, and so I think we can probably hold the hearing, and you can always tell me if you don't like it. Hold the hearing, you can tell me you don't like it, you want to see a bunch of changes. I think we're at the point of we should probably hold a hearing unless you want to talk about it a lot more.
I would like to hear the
hold the hearing before we change, we designate the, wait, we can designate it as a pedestrian corridor outside of these changes anyways, right?
And we should do that as part of this.
You want to do it as part of it? With the hearing. Okay, so do you want to do the hearing with the pedestrian corridor based on what we've told you, or without us taking a look at it? Is that?
Yeah, yes, because you can make changes. Just because we're holding the hearing doesn't mean it's set in stone. You hold the hearing to take input to see if you should make any changes.
Okay.
So,
are we good with that? The hearing?
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. I have one question, though.
Yeah.
They're along 7th Avenue. On both sides of the street, there's a lot of foot traffic from the high school, some of it crossing 7th Avenue, some of it up and down 7th Avenue. Does that need to be designated a pedestrian area? Or?
Well, the only reason I think we're doing this is to limit people's ability to make Main Street into residential in a commercial building.
Oh, okay.
And we were just saying it's already residential all the way up and down 7th, so you can't really restrict it anyways.
Except that it's not. There are a number of churches along 7th Avenue.
But it's so residential.
Residential.
Yeah. So if you drive down there during school time, it's going to be.
So someone could convert a church into housing, though. And there's already housing there, is the idea. So it wouldn't.
Yeah, the pastor's has their.
Putting housing on Main Street is where I think the concerns were. Right, but we're already saying there's already.
Move on.
Thank you. Okay, so you're going to schedule a hearing?
Yes.
All right. I really wanted to get to this garage thing tonight. Are we there?
We can.
No, you don't.
We can. We can do it. Let's start. I got food, so I'm good.
I want to hear. I mean, I'm hearing. I have no strong opinion on this. I just want to hear conversation from people who have had this conversation before. So maybe you'll make me form an opinion.
I think. You're right. I think.
Wait.
Point I've been making.
Are
for
you?
6 years.
Is this public input time?
Oh, we could. Can you open it for public input?
Perfect answer.
I think we should.
Bob said not yet, but I didn't hear you say not yet when I asked.
Bob, okay. My reaction is right, why haven't we allowed this yet?
Okay, so
people aren't using their garages.
I am gonna start. I know how you feel on this. You mentioned it. I'm gonna start with the commission that's here right now and ask if. Ruth is the only one who was part of those discussions, I think. We're new. We have some opinions we want to bring up on this right now? And then we'll open it up to public comment.
I was surprised at the variation in other cities. They just are all over the place with how much parking they require. I don't know. I'm not quite sure why they need a closed garage rather than a carport. Or adequate parking spaces. If you drive on any residential street in town now at 8 o'clock, there's wall-to-wall cars all the way down the street, even parked behind people's driveways. I would suggest we need to require more off-street parking.
But see, the
have you been talking to Bob?
No, Bob doesn't talk.
I'm gonna say this. This is the issue that I see, right? Is the fact that if we promote more off-street parking, understand that we're also promoting not having stop signs. And if they park in an area where then it becomes a blind spot, because now they're parking on the side of the road, there can be incidents. So then do we want them to park, you know? So parking is going to affect a lot of things. We have to just be indicating that stop signs, and then figuring out how to figure out where the people are going to park is going to be a hot topic, because I know that down there in that area, it's going to happen.
Well, I know it's a sensitive thing. I don't know what the right answer is, but I was surprised that the other cities, how much variation there was from one city to another. Nobody seems to have the correct answer.
But we should give Chris his chance to...
No, I'm going to make him wait.
No.
You guys go.
If we painted our curbs, kept those up, and then ticketed those people who were parking illegally, that would help with revenue here.
What's that have to do with the garages, Ruth?
Well, they're worried about there being too many cars and parking for blind
spots.
That
is a side discussion for sure, and I get that. But what do you think about allowing conversion of garages to living space? Did that kind of put you on the spot, Ruth?
If there are rules for construction, then I think we should have them be able to have permits if they're going to do that. Because I've been in a number of garages that have been converted, and they are not safe because people are doing it however they can afford to do it.
Do you think allowing it is going to change that?
No.
I think it would affect it to some extent, because if you know the answer is going to be no, you're not even going to ask, you're just going to do it. Mm-hmm. Where if you can do it right, you might.
I don't know. I saw a whole bunch of chickens on the side of the road at a residential area today when we're only allowed two. Well, this was a whole family.
I feel like we have time for about 3.5 more minutes of discussion on this.
So if we allow them to build in the parking, they're going to be parking on the road, which then we're going to have to build bigger roads.
Not necessarily.
No.
I'm trying to find it. There is a stipulation in here that if you remove your parking space in a garage, you have to make sure you have parking, though, on your lot. So you may, in some cases, have to add a parking area in front of your house because you just eliminated one from the garage.
Correct.
It's probably not being used anyways.
But we also have how much grass they need to have in their lot.
Yes, that was going to bring that up. So then, a lot of these lots are 50 feet wide, and so they would not be able to do it. But I would say a lot of the 50-foot wide lots don't have garages. Those houses are old enough where they didn't build garages back then. Would you agree with that? So I don't think there's very many 50-foot wide lots that have a garage. I bet that's rare. Would you say?
2007.
I don't know.
I know you're right.
So, but if there is. I'm thinking of a house that I have that's got that's single fan or a single garage that a lot of people have converted, even people in that neighborhood have converted to a master bedroom or whatever they did. Based on what I've read in the code, then they would, if they eliminated that, they would have to then add another parking pad.
Correct.
In their yard. As long as they still have room for 50% of landscaping, which I was looking up the definition of landscaping. That's a pretty broad definition. I could argue that my parking spot is a patio. So, Chris, did you have something to say?
Yeah, my first thing I have to say is you can't really listen to Alma because She's got a conflict of interest on this.
Well, you know what? I'm not a planning commissioner. I'm
Does Alma have a single car garage?
I have an extended parking pad with a garage that also fits two vehicles.
Did I not mention she was conflicted?
For parking, but I've got enough parking to fit four, almost five vehicles on my extended parking pad, but I still cannot convert my garage.
When you say fit, just meaning you have like some smart cars that you could park there or based on code requirements?
Go past by my house when you leave here. I've got a Jeep Commander parked out there, a 2000 Ford Taurus.
I want to know how long the parking pad is.
It's pretty long.
Exactly pretty long or approximately?
I had an RV that was parked on the side of my parking pad.
I'm talking about code requirements for length of parking areas.
That's why I don't let her convert.
By definition, have enough off-street parking, but I still cannot convert my garage into living
space.
Because I have to have covered parking. But I've got the appropriate amount of required off-road parking. So because I'm required covered parking and a garage, I'm short a bedroom.
I hear you.
So you can't just get a carport.
I'm starting to get an opinion on this. I think we just have to leave it like it is.
I need the landscape requirement. Do you see what we put people through?
Can I just ask a question? We have an affordable housing crisis, and we have people that are in homes that are trying to make those homes work for them. They're not parking in those garages anyway because they're having to use it for some sort of space for their house. I'm curious as to why we're going to such great lengths to make it so difficult for people to use the home that they're in because they can't afford to upgrade to something that is big enough for them. Because they're not parking in that garage anyway.
I have an answer for that. We are not.
I have a car garage, and I park in my garage, but there's every house on my whole road has three-car garages, and there's people parked all over the street.
So we are not. First of all, previous commission did. And I think it was 07.
We did. I'll tell you why we did it.
I'm talking about in 07, they made the rule that you had to have the garage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we're having a discussion on whether or not we should change that. So I can't speak for why the previous commission and council said you have to have the garages. I don't know.
So, things to discourage a manufactured home is to require covered parking because that's an added expense. So that is...
Okay, so it was to deter people from putting manufactured homes in city limits.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and it worked.
We have to vote for that, right?
Now that...
We have to allow it. Yeah. But if you make it harder by requiring a garage also, then that discourages it. But it hasn't been really an issue. We have like 18...
So if by allowing this, will this change future development? Like are they going to start building houses without garages?
Not likely.
I would say the only way they would do that is if there was a desire from people to have houses without garages. And they're going to build what sells, just like everything else when a developer builds. And I think most people now want garages in their new homes. But I don't know.
I'm okay with it.
So you're probably wondering, well, why do we have, when you looked at all the other cities, why do we have all these pretty restrictive and heavily required parking? That's simple, because we wanted to keep a small town feel.
Oh, shut up.
That was epic.
Well, that made happy with Bob, let me tell you. Right, Bob? There you go.
One of the reasons that we have so much parking with, I mean, so many vehicles per house is that houses are so limited and expensive that you have a lot of people living in houses and sharing houses, and so then you have more vehicles.
Plus, people will fill out a ton of cars. It's just ridiculous.
I only have one.
I'm unusual. I only have one.
Okay.
This
is tough for
you, my friend.
I like both, but I can't have both.
And this is our first discussion on this. I don't think there's a requirement to make a decision today, but. Bob, did you want to make some public input? Twist your leg.
Sure.
lapel mic by now.
Hold on, hold on. I do got one question real quick. Even if we allow them to build, it's still their choice. They can keep the garage or not keep the garage. Yeah. Right?
Can they convert the garage?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We can allow them. That doesn't mean that that family would, like, maybe that family wants the garage.
Yeah, exactly. They can. It's not saying you can't build a garage.
Yeah.
It's just saying the question is, should we still could continue to require the garage? That's what
really
we're talking about.
I don't think we would see too many houses, at least for a while, without garages being built. But it's just the conversion of, you know, because one of the things about a garage is when the builder builds it, it's a lot less expensive to build a garage than to build finished areas of the home. So they could make, you know, a bigger house, and you buy it with the garage, and then you end up using the garage for storage. So I think that you still see the new ones. It's just a matter of, are the people using that house that they bought, how are they using that space?
Yeah.
And before Bob talks, because I have a good feeling what Bob's going to talk about, as it is, if it was allowed to convert, because you can convert a garage if it was pre-built before 2007,
before,
right?
The requirement was,
so if someone in an older home that was built before 2007 did convert their garage, which they can right now,
yes.
Then they have to add the parking spaces that they lose from the garage. So that's off-street parking, yes. Alma apparently has a house built after 2007.
I do, 2013.
All right, Bob, you're okay. Up.
I think for me, it's more the number of parking spaces. I don't care if they're covered or in a garage or wherever. I think it's the number of parking spaces. And then the other thing, too, you convert a garage, you're going to have more people living there, more cars, and where are the cars going to go? I mean, they're going to go on the street. I mean, I think that there's places that don't have, well, you drive some of these streets right now. I know there's one house up there, just north of that striped water tower. The five-bedroom house, they rent each bedroom out to a different couple. You got 10 cars. that's extreme, but you got to understand that, you know, it's a number of parking spaces for the average number of cars that are going to be in that house, I guess.
Do you feel like the requirement of off-street parking and requirement for certain percentage of landscaped area in your front yard can be contradictory to each other?
I guess, you do have an issue there unless you have an alley to be able to park some in the back. I think that is an issue there, but I think off-street parking is important. That's a big, I don't care if it's in a garage or not, the off-street parking is important.
Would less than 50% landscaped area take away from the small town feel?
I don't know. It might, but I guess that's not my concern. I'd rather have the off-street parking.
I don't think so.
Gotcha.
I would have landscape.
What do you think, Ruth?
I frequent another small town that the houses are really packed together without garages, and it's still a small town feel.
I'm talking more about if the whole front yard was converted to driveway.
But are you talking about like a single family house?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm just...
They don't have front yards either.
Huh?
A lot of houses don't have front yards either.
Well, we've also changed the requirement for how close the house has to be to the curb, so a front yard anyways with that.
I think by law, like, they have to have a certain amount of grass and, like,
that's the question I'm asking.
So, like, you can't really, like, take away from that, can you? If it's a law? I don't know. You ask me.
It's not a law, it's a code.
Just something to put in your algebra as you consider this is, unfortunately, and Bob's going to punch me for saying this, but sorry, Bob. And Kelly's right. That one of the UGGs that we're dealing with off-street parking, you know, I'm poking at small-town feel a little bit. Every bit of off-street parking will decrease the amount of building you can have. That's one issue. To just make it part of your algebra, like if you require four or five spots of off-street parking, that is less housing you can have. And if you look at why cities have moved away from what we're doing, it is to increase housing. And I'm not advocating for that, but it is an impact and an effect. And that's why things have changed.
So
for sure.
I only bring that up just because if you're going to be complete and you're going to go through this, you got to consider that as well. And if that matters, and that's only the reason why I'm bringing it up.
So I think it with everything comes down to balance.
So I do got one point or question-ish. If we increase the off-site or like on the side parking, and if we look at
off-street
parking.
Yeah, off-street parking. And we look at the houses that we currently have that fit this criteria, how many of those houses have sidewalks? Because like my concern now is we're gonna increase this. Kids are going to be walking on the school, and because there's no sidewalks on those homes, they're going to be walking on the street now, which they're currently already doing now. But if you look at which homes where this is going to be affected, do those homes have sidewalks for those people to actually walk in a safe path?
I guess let me take it back. So from houses built after 2007 probably do have sidewalks. So I misspoke there.
Okay.
One thing I was thinking about is the more driveway you require, the less street parking there is available. Because if it's all driveway, there's no street parking.
And do we have an ordinance about X amount of your property?
49%.
Remodel requires you bring it all up to code, which would then mean they'd have to put the sidewalk in, right?
51%.
There's a addition threshold and a value, I think it's 25%. If the roof is 45%.
So then maybe you could adjust that value so that the older homes that don't have sidewalks would have sidewalks in? Because I know that we worked on that value before.
If it's an area that doesn't have sidewalks anyway, we take a covenant for a future sidewalk rather than put in 60 feet of sidewalk.
Okay. I just wanted to try to help answer your question. I know we had talked about sidewalk requirements before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no ordinance or law that makes people actually have to use their off-street parking.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
So you can make them slab their whole front so that they can park their 87 cars there, but they're still going to park them on the street.
They're not going to park them on the street if they're off driveway. They're going to park by your neighbors.
Yeah. I just feel like living here as long as I had, just a comment. What's currently happening with people parking on the sidewalk, on the road, by what we do with this garage thing. People are already currently doing what they're not allowed to do. And if we change this ordinance, things are probably, I can confidently say that based off my neighborhood, things are gonna stay exactly the way they are because nobody is using their garage for parking.
Definitely.
It's false. But the people who are not,
they're my neighborhood.
The people who are not are the ones who will convert.
Yeah.
And I agree. They're already parking on the street.
Yeah.
So it's a good discussion. I don't know that we want to make a decision today or not. It seems like we have things to ponder.
Yeah.
Drive around town, look at potential garages. Now, keep in mind, everything built before 2007, they already can do it.
Yep.
This is only ones after 2007. Which my house was built in 03, so.
Lucky you.
I could convert my 3-car garage into a mother-in-law suite.
All of those are, I don't know what the right answer is. One thing does occur to me that the space for a car is 200 square feet. If you increase the lot size requirement by 500 square feet, that would be enough for two more parking places off the road.
Then people can afford that.
Yeah, it's affordability.
Then you change affordability.
A little, but 500 square feet of basic land that's just going to get a concrete slab is not that much in terms of how much the house costs.
Parking spots 20.
Yeah, by 20.
You should have seen how excited they got when we told them they had to put grass in.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I mean, we do have two other commissioners that are not here that we probably want to see what their input is, but I'm comfortable with it. I just like to throw stuff out there. Allowing them to build.
Convert.
So
I feel like I want
to. My thing is just to bring awareness of like certain things. And so if we can bring awareness and talk about certain things, I'm okay with it.
I want to read it more myself. I prefer to read it more and look at the requirements for conversions right now. Well, the other cities are all over the board.
Yeah.
All over the board. One covered, two covered, zero covered.
So Deer Park and Sunnyside require two spaces like we do. Crossover requires one. And Royal City, Silver Lake, and Warden require it in some of their zones, but not in others.
But when you start looking then at the off-street parking requirements, then it's all over the board. And I think that you have to look at the big picture, not just the garage or the covered parking. That's just my personal feeling. I would be for holding off and having this discussion again later, unless Alma already has the plans from the architect.
I do have plans. I did, but I didn't
count
me down.
No. Are we good with? Do you guys want to make a decision tonight, or are we good with? Carrying on this discussion later, learning more about it.
There's lots more to learn, I'm sure.
So what more information would you want?
I just need to read the code more and become... Tonight, I just wanted to hear people's opinions. Now I can
Do you want a map zone of which houses are going to be affected? Or do you have an idea already?
I have a pretty good idea about which houses in this town were built after O. Seven. It's small sections, other than a few that are in the, yeah.
I mean,
a few that are in were empty lots.
Considering the number of folks that said they wanted a small town feel, to make our town feel more small town-ish, we should have bigger lots and more trees and more landscaping. That would improve the rip.
But that would be considered.
Well, we can't have everything.
But that would be considered new construction. Like we're just talking about construction that's from 2007 and below.
We're talking about conversion of those 2007 until now, but also then not requiring it anymore. It's both those things.
You could do one. They don't necessarily have to go together. You can allow conversion, but still require new ones. But
that wouldn't make sense. So is it like we go 3 years, keep your garage for 3 years, and you can convert it? You know, I think if you do it, you do it across the board. That's my personal opinion. Or you don't do it. Yeah, you're not saying you can't have garages. Just whether or not you have to. And the question is, if you do have a garage, requirements for the size of that garage, because then you'll have developers going, oh, I can have a 15-foot deep garage and say that I have a two-car garage on this house.
You know what we should have? You know what we should have is we should definitely take this to public input so Alma can come up and plead her case.
I'm gladly give my public input.
I'm joking. Again?
Yes. 100%.
Okay. Is there any old business we need to take care of? We discussed everything on the agenda, right?
So
okay. So I will accept the motion to adjourn.
Don't move.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
A second. Get that, Zuleika. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned, 7:56.
Look at that.
That's right.
I think it's good.
Well, there's the part of it that says, I'll come back, they'll do what they want with their house.
liked your idea.